This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for the Study of Guys and Snow here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, ponder this.
I'm pondering.
Why did every one of us feel compelled, while the region was under like 3 feet of snow last
week?
Blanketed, yeah. Paralyzed by it.
Yeah.
And everything in the world was closed. Even the mail wasn't delivered.
Why did we
feel compelled to go out, get in the car, and go someplace? Now, my brother got up and actually went to work. I called his house.
Yeah?
I was looking for him, figuring that he might do something stupid. And Joanne says, oh, you missed him. He's left for work.
Now, you don't go to work. Now, didn't
you? You don't go to work when it's not snowing. So what's up, man?
Well, it's interesting that, yes, it's true. And we have talked for many years about the fact that guys have to go out in the snow.
Yeah, not just people.
In fact, I was going to call you because I know what you're driving. And I wanted to let you know that they were having a sale on light bulbs up in New Hampshire. I thought you might want to take a little ride during the blizzard.
I got them during the last storm.
But I went out and I wasn't even driving.
I went out
just to be out.
Just to commune with nature.
Commune with the public transportation system and nature. And just walk through the snow because it was wonderful.
You're nuts.
Get away from my kids. They won't home from school.
Well, actually, while we're on the topic, while we had all this snow last week, I had the distinct pleasure of driving the ultimate behemoth.
I want to drive it. Can I drive it today?
Well, maybe. This thing is the Dodge Ram diesel four-wheel drive.
Turbocharged,
five-speed.
Extended cab.
Medium
long
blue,
bed.
Long bed pickup truck. The thing's about 40 feet long.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely magnificent. And I did feel, and you sit way up high.
Yeah.
I have to have a milk box. So I have a milk box with a rope. Put the milk box down. I get in the truck,
and I pull
the milk box in with the rope. I split three pairs of pants trying to get into it the first 3 days
but
I had it.
But it was great, huh?
It was magnificent. You cannot get this thing stuck. And I tried.
Yeah.
I did try, and I felt like a real He-Man as I was driving it. The hair on my knuckles began to grow.
Yeah.
And I found myself...
Little ears come out of the top of your head.
I had this strange urge to pull over and buy bananas. And I did, and I swung from the power lines to get back to the
truck.
But it is a magnificent vehicle,
huh?
And if I lived someplace where it really snowed like this all the time.
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, what is it like the rest of the year?
It's big and ungainly and loud.
And impossible to maneuver.
And impossible
and
to
loud
park and maneuver, but it
and
is.
And loud.
Other than that, by the way, just a little aside here before we take a call. You'll notice, we'll do the credits, that we may not mention Bugsy Lawler in the credits because he's not our technical editor this week because he's been absent for a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Bugsy goes out and buys himself a $3,000+ lawn tractor, snow blower, I don't know what else it does, well digger. It does all kinds of stuff.
Digs, pooper scooper.
Digs wells, scoops poops, does all that stuff. Yeah, well, his snow blower doesn't run. And poor Bugsy's been snowed in. He can't leave the house. He's been snowed in for 2 weeks. And he's probably going to be there until spring. He's got this 500-foot driveway, and he started this thing up. It went 5 feet and gonked out. And they can't even get to his house to pick it up. Why? Because snowed in. He was in a sad state when last we spoke.
He was crying when I
sobbing. Yeah.
Crying.
If you want to call us about your car or your snowblower or the sad state of affairs in your life, our number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tony. I'm calling from Mendota Heights, Minnesota.
Tony.
Mendota Heights.
Mendoza Heights, Minnesota.
It's a suburb of St. Paul.
Ah. It's a an affluent suburb, shall we say?
You could say that, yes.
Yeah, cool. That's good.
Yeah, I know anything with the term Heights in it. Sounds, yes. Sounds affluent, and it should be.
Yeah.
But I only work here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're calling from work.
Of course he's calling from work.
Excellent. Yeah, so what's up, Tony? That's Tony with a Y or with an I?
That's Tony with a Y.
With a Y, yeah.
Yeah. I'm calling about my wife's car, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
She's got an 89 Grand Am LE, and the other weekend I was out in the garage changing her oil for her. And after I had drained the pan and taken off the filter, I was going to take off the oil filler cap. And this Grand Am has an oil filler cap that has the dipstick attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pulled that dipstick out, it had this kind of creamy white substance on it. It kind of looked like Crisco, maybe, or some chocolate mousse type stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wiped that off, and I thought, I wonder if there's any more down there. And I started doing sort of like a throat culture on the thing. I'd stick
yeah.
it down there.
Yeah,
and
swirl it around a couple of times. Yep.
And I'd pull it out, and I'd wipe it off. And I kept doing that until I got it all out. And then I started filling it up with oil. And it would fill up and get close to the top of the neck. And then the oil would stop, and it would go, boom, and spit and burp the oil right back onto the engine.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And this kept going for a while, and if I filled it slow enough, it took the oil and it wouldn't burp back up. So I guess I have three questions. Part one. What is this stuff?
Okay, we'll take all the questions first, and we'll answer them.
What is it?
What
Part
is it?
B.
Okay. Part B. Is it okay if I fed it to my cat?
Okay, to eat.
Okay.
And Roman numeral number
Roman
three. What should I do about it?
What to do?
Excellent questions.
Okay.
These are good questions.
We'll answer number B first.
Okay. I was going to answer three first.
Oh, go ahead.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
But probably nothing.
He's going to end up doing nothing. I mean, we can suggest some things to do. But
okay.
Knowing you, Tony,
yes?
you'll choose nothing.
Okay.
How many football games did you miss while you were swabbing the... doing the throat culture here.
Well, I did this on a Saturday, so I missed the basketball games.
You missed the basketball games.
Yeah.
I mean, to tell you the truth, it's probably nothing.
Okay.
I'm going to have to guess that your wife does short-distance driving.
She drives about 26 miles to work one way.
That's
But she does some driving around town, too. Yeah.
Well, all right, then how about there's a lot of miles on this car?
Yeah, 120.
Okay.
Sure. I don't know how that impacts anything, but it might have some relevance.
I was trying to bail you out.
Yeah. what that stuff is water vapor.
Okay.
And water vapor is a natural consequence of combustion. You know, you combust something, and the only things that combust in this world are things that have carbon and hydrogen in them, I think. Is that true? Can you combust anything that doesn't have carbon and hydrogen except for magnesium, sodium? You can combust a lot of things.
Combust a lot of things.
All right.
Anything that will combine with oxygen, that's anything. You can combust iron.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's called rust. Not combust. Anyway, when you combust a hydrocarbon, one of the byproducts is carbon dioxide. Another one is water.
Okay.
And some of that water gets into the crankcase,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be removed by the ventilation system of the crankcase.
Okay.
Thus my question of how many miles are on it. Because more of the water will get into the crankcase when you've got a zillion miles and your rings are a little lazy.
Okay.
So you get water in there, and if the crankcase ventilation system can't handle it all, it stays behind, and it forms this goo, this caramel coffee-colored goo.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate mousse was good.
Yeah, yeah. More like coffee mousse.
I'd say it's more like cafe latte. Isn't it?
Well, it looks like the stuff floating on the top of my cappuccino, actually.
It looks like this. Here it is.
But it's okay. It's okay. And as long as that stuff isn't coming out when you take the drain plug out. If it's coming out when you take the drain plug out, it's just oil. Ignore this.
Okay.
Because it is a consequence of old age, sometimes short distance driving, and sometimes the peculiar way in which the tube is fashioned for the dipstick.
Okay.
Stuff will collect in there. Sometimes you'll see this on the underside of the filler cap if you have that kind of a system.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Okay.
You should do nothing about it. And no, you shouldn't feed it to your cat.
Okay. My wife
unless you mix it with the food.
All right, gentlemen. I appreciate your help.
Thanks, Tony.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Tony.
Yeah, you too.
See you. Bye-bye.
Mendota Heights, Minnesota, a suburb of St. Paul.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler after these messages. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Your elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive entirely its own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
Okay, Tommy, if you can remember last week's puzzler.
Last week's
puzzler. I'll come over and shovel your driveway.
Oh, no! It was a dark and stormy night.
You got it, man.
Okay.
Here it is.
Yeah. No, was I wrong?
You're wrong.
You notice I'm always good. 2 weeks.
With everything.
Well, you know why? Because the puzzler from 2 weeks ago, I've heard twice. Once when you gave it, once when you repeated it to give the answer. So that's the one that's in my brain. The one I've only heard once, I never can remember. But I do remember that last week's puzzle was a good one. I do remember that.
Well, it wasn't great.
What was it?
It was all right. I can't take credit for this. It was sent in by Stuart Bayard from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. It was very brief.
Yeah.
Automobile model names are often singular nouns like Mustang,
yes.
Dart, Vista.
Yeah.
It would be very unusual, say the least, for a manufacturer to use a plural noun. And you wouldn't say a Buick Rivieras or Rivieri
or a Honda Mustangs
or Honda Accords. But the practice is not completely unknown, according to Stuart. And he asks, and we ask, can you identify an automobile model currently in production being sold in this country whose name is a plural noun?
Jeez.
Yeah. You almost had the answer last week. Dougie almost had it, too.
Well, we were discussing. I said it can't be an English word. It must be Latin.
Good.
It must be. And then I said it must not be first declension, therefore ending in A-E.
Right.
And I was working on like fifth declension ending in S.
No.
Fourth declension.
There may be.
Well, I had no idea. I thought it was a good question, though.
You were so close.
Was I? What did I say?
The model is the Nissan Maxima.
Oh, my God.
Now, the Mazda Millennia almost makes it.
Why
does it? But they misspell it.
They do?
I think Mazda Millennia is spelled M-I-L-L-E-N-I-A, and that is the wrong spelling for millennia. It has two N's, I believe, the Latin word.
I believe it does have.
I believe it does.
But Maxima. That's good.
It's the plural of Maximum.
I wonder how many others there are.
Third declension. We have a popular third declension. Do we have a winner?
Where is it? The winner is Jeffrey. Now, every Jeffrey in the country is saying, is it I? Is it I? Please, let it be me. I want the T-shirt. I want the stupid little hat. It's Jeffrey. Now, I'll narrow it down from Erie,
Shouldn't it be let it be I?
It is let it be I. Mm. Jeffrey from Erie, Pennsylvania. Now, I'm narrowing it down from all the Jeffreys in the world to only the Jeffreys in Erie, Pennsylvania. And it's now Jeffrey McCall from Erie. Are you awake?
Oh, yeah.
And for figuring that out and being selected from among all the right answerers, our pal Jeffrey will get a copy of our brand new cassette/CD, The Best of Car Talk. Remember, best is a relative term. It doesn't mean that it's good. It means it's just the best that we could find.
Now, anyway, if you didn't win the puzzle this week and you still want a copy of The Best of Car Talk, you can get one from our shameless Commerce Division, whose number is 303-595-5905. And we'll give that number again at the end of the show. More importantly,
yeah.
we have another puzzler coming up.
No descriptor?
Non-automotive.
Okay.
Non-automotive.
That's innocuous?
That's mathematical in nature.
Oh.
Mathematical in nature.
And what grade level do you think is required? Seventh grade do it?
I don't think so.
Ooh.
Any high school student.
Any high school student could be able to handle this.
Right.
Should be able to handle this.
Or having the equivalent, being the equivalent of a high school student.
Yeah, I got it.
Requires a knowledge of geometry.
Cool. All right.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, if you want to call us with your car questions, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Fred from Ohio.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well also.
Yeah, me too.
What's up?
Good. I've got a 1987 Alfa Romeo Milano, which I've stored for the past year. I haven't turned the engine over during that period of time.
Yes.
And I want my daughter-in-law, who recently moved to Ohio, to use it. I contacted a mechanic, and he said that I should disconnect the wire from the distributor to the plugs, and with a fully charged battery, turn over the engine with a starter to bring up the oil pressure.
Good idea.
He says this will make sure that the oil is circulating. Mm-hmm. And then I should reconnect the distributor and fire it up.
Good advice.
Now, my daughter-in-law's fiancé, she returned to Ohio to get married, is an engineer, and he specializes in oils and additives. He says just fire the engine up. The oil will circulate anyway. Now,
this fellow has a degree in engineering?
He has a degree in engineering.
Is this your son now we're talking about?
No, son-in-law. Future son-in-law.
Your daughter and son-in-law.
That's right.
Okay, future son-in-law. And he specializes in lubricants.
Lubricants.
From what school does he have this degree?
Well, I haven't gone into that, but the marriage has not yet taken place.
Yeah, and we're not sure we want it to.
Want to alienate him. at least until it's taken place.
Well, that's all right, Fred. We can do it. We can be responsible for all the alienation. We specialize in alienation, so you don't have to be responsible at all.
We have to be careful though, because Fred is we can tell by reading between the lines is dying to get rid of his daughter. And if this engineer guy doesn't marry her, then her chances probably are slim.
Yeah, let my silence speak for itself. Anyway, my future son-in-law and decided to try and contact you and submit the question to you, and we will abide by your decision.
Yes. Now we have to be. Now
really, that seems a rather refined and gentlemanly way to do it. I mean, I think there should be some argument should ensue afterward.
No. Well, I mean, they're relying on us.
Keep in mind, I'm going to say that they're engaged. They're still not married. What will happen after the marriage?
Okay, right. So it will be amicable at this point.
Okay, it is incumbent upon us, however, to use some degree of tact, which is not, I would say, one of our fortes.
Well, how long is the car been sitting?
A year.
It's been sitting for a year.
Well, now,
this is a vexing little problem.
It is from an interpersonal.
Yes, of course. I mean, the
perspective. Yes.
I mean, the sheer mechanics of it are relatively simple.
It's trivial. Now, let's get rid of the technical issue for a minute. Did you have the presence of mind to call a mechanic before you left this car sitting idle for a year? Did you take any precautions? In other words.
Except for disconnecting the battery.
Nothing else.
And pushing it backwards and forwards every month or so in order to move it off the same point sitting on the on the tires.
Other than that,
nothing else.
Okay. Ohio.
Yeah, left the gas tank is all but full, and the oil was changed, I think, within a matter of a week or so before we put the car in storage.
But a year is no time for a car to sit. It should fire right up. I mean, the obvious issue is, did the oil drain down in that year that it sat enough for it to make a difference?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the truth is that where is the cutoff point? If a car sits for a day, we are led to believe that there's still a significant film of oil on all those things like the cylinder walls and well, actually just the cylinder walls and the cam lobes and whatever.
Yeah.
So that those first few seconds that the engine runs, there is not damage done.
Yeah. And if you had gone out of town for 3 or 4 days and left the car at the airport, you wouldn't do anything special when you came back. You'd just turn the key. In fact, if you had gone away for a week and a half, you might not do anything.
So where is the threshold point?
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Right. So your position is turn the key.
Right. Well,
because whatever was going to happen in a year happened after the first 2 weeks, and you if you wouldn't have made any special taken any special precautions after 2 weeks, why take any now?
Right, that's the position of the FSTB, the future son-in-law to be.
Yeah, that's exactly the logic of my future son-in-law.
Yeah. On the other hand, one might argue that that may be true, but that whatever is happening more and more and more and more and more every day. And whatever little amount of oil would have been on those cylinder walls after 2 weeks or three or four or five, there is absolutely no oil left.
That's my
after
logic.
A year.
Right. And if you apply the philosophy of Rene Descartes, it can't hoit him. In other words, it can't possibly hurt to do what your mechanic suggested.
No.
And in fact, it could only help. So what's the reason for not doing it?
Right.
That's truly a Solomon's answer.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, it can't hoit. I agree with my brother.
I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Nice to talk to you, Fred.
Okay. I've got one quick wrap-up question.
Yeah.
Would you advise any particular checkups once we get the car fired up?
Well, for me and your age, a prostate check would be a good thing to do once a year.
Other than that, I would just drive it.
It comes through that clearly in the
voice. I would have someone take a look at the brakes.
Okay.
And I presume that this is an automatic Milano.
No, it isn't. It's a stick shift.
This is the mint Milano version.
Mint Milano.
That's why it's been in storage for a year.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And as long as it runs, I mean, I wouldn't worry about it.
But after you get it fired up and you're confident that you can go around the block with it, then I would get it into someone and have it gone through before
Thank
you hand
you
it over.
Thank you very much.
See you, Fred.
Thanks for calling,
Thanks.
Fred.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new Puzzler after these messages.
This message comes from Jackson. Let's face it, retirement planning can be confusing. At Jackson, we're working to make retirement clear for everyone, starting with you. Our easy-to-understand resources and user-friendly digital tools help simplify your entire experience. You can have confidence in your retirement with clarity from Jackson. Seek the clarity you deserve at Jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and a friend indeed.
Certainly seems like a friend. Rob Carpenter. You'll find out who he's a friend of in just a second.
Okie doke.
I'm writing to take you two to task on several points that were raised on your show a few weeks ago. You see, I happen to have the unique opportunity of having worked with your nephew, Matthew, for the past 2 years.
Really?
Over that time, of course, I've become a fan of the show and I listen to you regularly. I've come to know you through your nephew in many conversations as Uncle Tom and Uncle Ray. Hence, the introduction, the letter is addressed to Dear Uncles Tom and Ray.
Uh-huh.
My bones of contention have to do with your futile efforts to fix up your, quote, deadbeat nephew, recently with the Halloween party contest winner.
I do remember.
It must really be true when you guys profess that you don't have any idea about what you're talking about. Hmm. Particularly when one of you teaches marketing at a major university. Who would that be?
Not me.
How can you expect any listeners and potential dates to think of Matthew in good terms when you call him a deadbeat and then proceed to imply he is, to use the politically correct term, handsomely challenged? Parenthesis with that comment about the pork chop and the dog. I think it was you that said that.
That we had to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with. Well, it's true. I mean, if it's true, it's true.
Furthermore, what kind of image are you trying to portray by letting the facts slip out that you've been trying to fix him up for the last 15 years? Why not kill any chance of success by saying decades already? Any good marketer will know that you have to make the product you're trying to sell appealing to your customers. Why not refer to him as ruggedly handsome or definite babe magnet material? You could even call him sensitive or some term like that, even if he may not fit all those classifications. See an example of personal ads taken out in your local newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Being from the automotive industry, you of all people should know how to portray something sincerely and believably when it isn't true. I eagerly await your campaign and wish you all success. Very truly yours, Rob Carpenter.
Sorry, man. Just trying to have some fun.
Well, we do have to do something for the guy.
Yeah.
What we're looking for is a, say, 25 to 30-year-old.
Let's not narrow it down. 18 to 40.
18 to 40-year-old female. Of any
Let's
kind.
Not narrow it down.
Let's not narrow it down. A female of any kind, right? We don't care.
Yeah. Let's not
narrow it down. All right, anybody. Male or female. Preferably with a steady job.
Preferably.
I think that would be good.
And a car.
And a car that runs.
Don't worry, Matt. There's hope. There's hope, man.
Your future is assured, man. We got to find him a girl. We got to.
Anything. Either that or get him another dog. All right.
Okay, what?
Here's the deal.
Take a call? Oh,
no, it's time for the new puzzle. I'm going to make this brief because Rob's letter was 55 pages.
Well, it was important, though.
It was important, admittedly. Yeah. You remember many years ago, the first time that Ma got out of prison, we decided to have a big celebration.
The first time, yeah.
The first time.
Yeah.
And we baked a cake.
I remember that.
I think I might have used this puzzle before.
No.
No, I did use it. I did, in fact, use this very same introduction, but this is a different cake.
It's a different cake. This was the second time she got out of prison.
That was the second time. Cake, yeah, right. I think this was the second time, right.
Yeah.
And this cake was to be uniquely divided. See, there were five of us. There was Ma and Dad.
Yeah.
Or Pa.
Yeah, me and you.
And
the lawyer.
And the third one. Who's the other one? The other sibling of ours. Lucille.
There's another sibling.
And we were having a little celebration. Naturally, it was a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
I was getting out of prison again. And we had baked this cake, which was a square. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like cakes are. Let's say, for the sake of argument, it was
10 inches on a side. Boom.
Could be.
Boom.
10 inches.
That's all right. That was about it. Yeah.
And I don't know how high.
Doesn't matter.
Didn't really make any difference.
No.
Right. And this cake just looked just like the one that the file was in that enabled her to get out of prison so we could have this
so
wonderful
quickly.
Family reunion. Yeah. Right. It was a replica of the cake we had taken to her the week earlier. Commemorative cake. So
commemorative file cake. File it.
Right. In fact, I think those files were about a foot long, so I think the cake must have been 10 inches on a side.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we have this cake. It comes out of the oven, and it gets frosted as cakes get frosted, the top and the four remaining sides, and the bottom, of course, doesn't get frosted. And the question is, how would you cut this cake so that each and every one of the five participants would get a piece that had not only the same volume, but the same amount of frosting?
Oh! Wow, and it's frosted.
It's frosted like any Duncan Hines cake would be frosted.
Exactly. Top and sides.
So it's a square cake.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, we'll give it a dimension. Let's say it was 2 inches tall.
No, I don't want to give it a dimension.
A inches tall.
It's 8 inches tall. All right?
Yeah.
So it's 10 inches on a side. It's a little taller than the file. What was the file? 2 inches? It's, yeah. Okay, so it's 10 inches on a side, as tall as a file.
Laying on its side,
and the
of course.
Right, laying on its side. And the challenge is to cut the cake so that each person gets a piece that is the same volume, and, more importantly, the same amount of frosting, i.e. the same surface area.
Yeah.
Right? Of the frosted pieces.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh? Now, we have to thank Mr. Ken Rogers for this puzzler, because not only was he the one that found it, but he was the one that also solved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we argued with him for months about the solution and finally admitted that he was right.
Yeah, well, we had to.
We had to.
Yeah.
You know why?
He had the proof.
He was right.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or the back of a $20 bill and mail it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Post Office Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Mass 02238. And if we choose your answer at random from among all of the correct answers that we're certain to get, and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of The Best of Car Talk on cassette or CD. We recommend the cassette because at least you can record over it.
Most people when don't you have... say, this is real crap, then at least you got a cassette.
Yeah, we won't punch out the thing in the back, so you can record over it. Anyway, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mackenzie Rivers.
Mackenzie Rivers.
Wow, you sound like you're from Australia, but of course you're not, but that's a great... Where are you from, Mackenzie Rivers?
I live in Idaho.
Wow, what a name.
Mackenzie, that is a good name.
What a name.
Isn't there isn't there a Canadian province named Mackenzie?
I'm not sure, but there's actually a Mackenzie River, which is in Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course, there's Spuds Mackenzie.
Mackenzie Rivers. I mean, are you in show business or something?
No, I'm a river guide in the Grand Canyon in the summer, and I'm a law student.
How apropos.
Yeah.
And a law student in the winter.
That's right.
Gee, that's wonderful. Okay, well, that's great. We know all about you now. Anything
else? Why don't
you
drop out of law school and you'd be perfect? So what's up, Mackenzie?
I mean, where are you going to find a job when you get out of law school? There are already too damn many lawyers.
Oh, well, I know. I'm hoping to study or specialize in Indian law. So I'd probably work for one of the tribes.
Oh, you'll never get rich doing that.
Well,
what do you mean? Is she going to be the lawyer for the casinos?
Ooh.
She's not going to get rich doing that?
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a phenomenal...
The sweeper is getting rich doing that.
All right.
Stay right where you are, and if there are any openings for sweepers, give me a call. So, thanks for calling, Mackenzie.
Okay.
Now, what's your problem?
You were really helpful.
I thought so.
Well, I have a 1988 Isuzu Trooper.
Yeah.
And, it does this really strange thing in the winter time here in Idaho. And when it's cold, which in Idaho, cold is anything below like 20 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Because the rest of the year it's hovering around 32.
Yeah, right.
On really cold mornings, I go out to start the car up. I start it up. It starts up fine. I let it warm up. And then as I start to drive it away, it makes a strange, loud clanking sound.
Yeah, from the front.
I think it's coming from the front. So this is when the car is not in four-wheel drive. So what I figured out is if I stop it, put it in reverse, which is how you unlock the hubs, then the sound will go away, and usually I can just drive on. But some days, even if I do that, the sound will keep going, and I'll have to, like, keep putting it in reverse, or even I'll be driving down the road, and it'll just start out of the clear blue sky making the sound. And I took it in to my mechanic, and he said he couldn't find anything wrong. But this has been going on since 1992.
If you put it in four-wheel drive, the noise is also gone.
Right. When it's in four-wheel drive, it does not make that sound.
Right. It's because the locking hubs are not, when you unlock them, they're not unlocking all the way. That's
okay.
What's making the noise. And
yeah.
It's because the grease in there is so congealed and so viscous from the cold weather that the grease is actually making the hubs lock up, kind of.
Okay.
And that's what's making the noise.
So that would happen even when I've just been driving around for a couple hours, if it all of a sudden just start doing this?
Well, it could, I suppose, if the weather were cold enough. I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think so. And you may want to consult your Isuzu dealer because they may have a fix for it.
Okay.
They may have a
winter grease.
Yeah, someone told me about putting in a synthetic grease.
There may be other. Yeah. There are those.
There are synthetic greases, and they may recommend it for temperatures below 5, which it is in the winter in Idaho.
Right.
And you just can't leave it in four-wheel drive because it's dangerous.
You do know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. If you're driving along on the roads, you should not be in four-wheel drive in this vehicle.
Why not?
Well, I don't know, but we've heard that it's not. No, because you do not have a center differential. You engage for you. In other words, you have what's called on-demand four-wheel drive.
Right.
You put it in. In other words, you demand that it goes in.
Uh-huh.
And you're only supposed to use that when you have road conditions that will allow the wheels to slip.
Right.
And
like you got to be in a pile of snow.
Snow, ice, mud,
uh-huh.
Tree stumps. In any
right.
of those, under any of those conditions, you can put it in four-wheel drive because it's possible for all four wheels to turn at different speeds.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a dry road condition where the wheels cannot each turn at their own speed,
mm-hmm.
you can have a very dangerous situation where you can get torque wrap-up by actually turning the wheel when it's hard to explain. But when if you make a left or a right-hand turn and you're in four-wheel drive, all four wheels need to turn at different speeds. But because the front and rear wheels are locked together by what's called the transfer case, it's
uh-huh.
impossible for that to happen, and one of the wheels will get dragged along the ground, causing you to lose traction and perhaps lose control of the vehicle. I mean, that's basically it in a nutshell.
Okay.
So if you didn't know that, not just for you, but for anyone that has on-demand four-wheel drive, when the road is dry, you shouldn't be in four-wheel drive.
Right. It's designed so that you can get out of a stuck situation, but
uh-huh.
not so you should be driving with it.
So if you were driving on a snow-covered road and were entirely snow-covered, yeah, you could leave it in four-wheel drive.
Okay, because that's how the roads are here.
8 months out
of
the year.
Winter.
Yeah.
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 So you might be all right. But try the synthetic grease.
Okay.
That may do it.
Or whatever else the Isuzu dealer suggests.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like maybe a tune-up.
Okay. No, I have it tuned up, and I change oil and, you know, that keep air in the tires, that sort of thing.
That's enough.
I bet these guys have a service bulletin on it if they do that stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling Mackenzie Rivers.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug, the Subway Fugitive. By the way, nothing's ever happened as a result of that.
I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, I would think that the Metro Police there in Washington,
in our nation's capital,
would be a little bit more diligent in tracking down criminals.
I mean, it's like... It's
not that we want to get rid of them or anything.
It's just like he thumbed his nose at
them. Thumbed his nose at them. Jumped on the train and ran away.
I mean, not only did he take off with the ticket that she had written him, but his license, and he drank his coffee to boot. Boy, call that contempt for the law.
Contempt, and she just
next
said,
thing you know,
oh, fine.
He'll be driving 100 miles an hour. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Frequent Flyer Loeb. Our technical advisor is MIA. If he ever comes out of the snowdrift in front of his house,
he's trying to find his tractor.
We'll let you know. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. The manager of our employee refrigerator is Carmen Dating. Our director of congressional funding is Fred Knott. Our staff cardiologist is Angie Oplasty. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. My Foot. Our director of gender studies is Amanda B. Reckon With. Our director of country music is Stan Byerman. And our child seat tester is Drew Lee Weiner. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. Our director of nutritional supplements is Rose Hips. Our director of Cadillac steering is Toulouse Track. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our wardrobe was by Natalie Attired. Our producer's office is furnished by Rick Kleiner. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the ski lift operators in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack the Tappert Brothers. Thanks so much for listening, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Copy of this week's show, which is number 3, you can call 303, better than last week's, which was number 2, you can call 303-595-5905, and if you want a transcript of this week's show, call 303-595-5905, Order show number 3, and when you get it, write everything down.
You can also order the infamous Best of Car Talk on CD and/or cassette through that same number, which is 303-595-5905. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
Celebrating 25 years of radio excellence.
25? What about the 8 years that we've been on?
Celebrating 17 years of radio excellence and 8 years of filling air time with people like us, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the NPR Wine Club. Get the world of wine delivered to your door. When you join the NPR Wine Club, you'll receive the stories behind every bottle and favorite NPR shows and personalities arriving in liquid form, like Weekend Edition Cabernet and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Zinfandel. The NPR Wine Club is a delicious way to support NPR's programming. If you're 21 or older, uncork a special offer at nprwineclub.org/podcast. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.